Everybody's heard about love. Have you ever heard of that subject, love? And there is a group of people in the world known as Christians. Amen. Amen. They call them Christians. You ever heard of that word? And definition of Christian I often hear is to be Christ-like. Well, if we are Christian and Christ-like, amen, then we should look in the Word of God and see how Christ did things. Amen. He brought to this world the love of God. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. Somebody asked me some time ago, well, why didn't God, if He loved us so much, why did He send His little boy to do all the dirty work? Why didn't He do it Himself? But that is a lack of understanding. Amen. The Spirit that made all things cannot be nailed to a cross, cannot be tortured, cannot die, because God the Father is everywhere, in all things, above all things, through all things, and no man has seen God at any time. Because God is not a man that He should lie, but He's Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But the Son of God manifested that Spirit and showed God the Father to be a God of love and compassion. And nobody really knew that much about God until Jesus Christ the Savior was presented by God Himself to manifest what God is all about. Praise God. So when people saw Jesus doing things, they were actually seeing an illustration through a human being of what God is, how God feels, and what God is all about. And it turns out that He went about doing good. He saw the multitudes having a need, and He blessed them. It didn't matter who they were, where they had come from, what they had been involved in, He blessed them all. Fed them all, healed them all, loved them all, because He was showing us the love of God. And He wants us to take this love of God and shed it abroad, amen, through the same Spirit that brought Jesus Christ into our lives, amen. Almighty God is a Holy Spirit, amen. And when we receive God into our lives, our way of saying it is the same way the King James Bible says it. We get the Holy Ghost. Amen. We get criticized sometimes for talking about the Holy Ghost the way we talk about the Holy Ghost. I got it. I got it. I got the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's all over me. It's keeping me alive. And people say, you shouldn't call the Holy Ghost it. Oh, but there's an understanding involved here. It's not a lack of respect. We're not talking about a separate deity from the first or the second. It's not a third deity. It is a manifestation of the very same God who's given us of His Spirit. Amen. In fact, in the Bible, it's called that holy thing. And if you start looking at technological words and how things are said sometimes, you can get all hung up on these things. But it's not a lack of respect to say, I'm all excited about what's happening to me. It is wonderful. It's not saying that God is an it. It is saying there's something happening in my life. And it's precious to me. It's just our way of expressing ourselves. Praise God. But if it makes you feel good, I'd just like to tell you, I'm glad I got Him in my life. But you know, God is Spirit. God is neither male nor female. But He manifested His Spirit through the man, Jesus Christ. Who went about loving people. So it's kind of ordinary that when we talk about God, we refer to Him as we know Jesus as a man. Praise God. But I know Jesus is more than just a man. That man was crucified. But that Spirit that was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, is now abiding in my life too. Hallelujah. And is teaching us to love one another. To love one another. Everybody say, love one another. Amen. And I want to go to the book of 1 Corinthians. If I can find it, I think it's in my Bible. 1 Corinthians. I read this a few nights ago, but I want to go back to it again. Because I was speaking more about speaking in tongues, and I may touch on that some, but now I'm talking about love from the same passages. 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. And in case you don't know it, that word charity in the King James Bible, when you look at the original, it is interchangeable. It is the same word used for love. So I like to use the word love when I read these scriptures just to kind of make it more clear. We're talking about love here. We're not talking about going down to Catholic charities and helping the people feed people and clothe people, although that can be involved in this. But we're talking about love. We're not talking about giving in an offering to help some charity cause. And sometimes the word charity may be a little confusing since we know that word and associate it with many things. But when we talk about love, amen, I think it kind of helps our understanding. Because that's what this is about. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, no matter how well I speak, and don't have love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, I'm just making noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. It's not going to do me an ounce of good, no matter how I may hurt myself, offer myself, or do all kinds of good things. If I don't have love, amen, it's not going to help me in any way. Love suffereth long. What that means, that word suffereth, what that means in the King James Bible that I'm reading out of, it means puts up with things. Amen. In other words, it suffereth means, all right, you did me wrong, you goofed up again, you've disappointed me again, I don't like what's happening here, but I still love you. I'm still your friend. And no matter what you've done, and no matter how many times you've done it, I'll still be here for you. That's what this is talking about. Love puts up with a lot, suffers long, and is kind. Actually, we're reading right now what Jesus showed us that God is all about. Hallelujah. Love does not envy. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now that's a lot right there. Just think about how God has manifested His love toward us. Aren't you glad He was able to bear some things as you were trying to work your way to Him? Aren't you glad that He was able to bear with you during your times and not maybe doing things just right? Aren't you thankful that He still believed in you, that you could still make it when you utterly failed over and over as you made those attempts to get started and you weren't able to go through with what you wanted to do? Aren't you glad He still believed that you could do it? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that He didn't lose His hope? Amen. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. I remember when I was young how that I would go into a prayer meeting. They would call sometimes special prayer at our church. And I'd find myself in there praying and telling God, I'm sorry I'm such a failure. I'm sorry I'm such a failure. Because when I'd go to these prayer meetings, I would be repenting the same prayers of repentance that I'd prayed the time before, just a few days before, in the same prayer room. Oh God, I'm sorry. I'll try to never do those things again. I'll try to never be that way again. Here I was again and again and again and again. Said, I'm still sorry that I did it again. And I said what I shouldn't say again. I acted ways I shouldn't have acted again. And then I got to where, oh God, I'm such a failure. I'm such a failure. And you know, when we start thinking like that, we actually can hurt ourselves because we're not thinking as God thinks. We're not looking at ourselves as God would look at us. Amen. We need to learn how to love ourselves too. And endure some things. And understand a few things. And realize, hey, we're human, we're flesh, we have problems, and there are some things about us that we don't like, but we need to suffer long with it. Praise God. I need to realize, yeah, I'm mortal. Yeah, I have a human brain. Yeah, I got eyes that shouldn't look in some direction sometimes. Yeah, I have thoughts I shouldn't think, and I feel like a failure sometimes, but I know somebody that still loves me. I know somebody that still has hope for me. I know somebody that still believes I can make it. So why should I go around with my head down saying I'm a failure? I feel defeated. I feel useless. I feel hopeless when my God has said, come on, you can make it. I'm for you. I'm with you. I can take you through. I heard about this lady down in Texas several years ago. She had received the Lord in her life many years before, like 20 years before. And after she had received God into her life, she messed up. She made a mistake. And for 20 years, she sought God for forgiveness over that mistake. She would go to the altar when they would have a time of praying around the front of the church. And she would pray and she would cry and she'd say, oh God, I'm sorry I did what I did years ago, that terrible thing I did. I'm sorry, oh God, I'm sorry I've sinned. I'm sorry I've sinned. Please forgive me of my sin. And this was her testimony. 20 years of going up front and asking God to forgive her of those sins that she committed. She said she heard an audible voice. And I believe God can speak in this way. I think I've heard it a couple of times myself. One time was to a cow, but I won't go into all those details. Amen. But she said she heard an audible voice as she was crying and praying after 20 years of struggling, trying to get forgiveness. She said, God, forgive me of that sin. God, forgive me of that sin. And she said she heard a big voice behind her saying, what sin? You see, because the Word of God teaches us, when He forgives, He forgets. If that lady could have only realized it after that forgiving, asking God to forgive her 20 years before, it was omitted out of her life, deleted, taken away, taken aside, washed away. All you got to do is ask Him one time, and He is willing and faithful and loving and kind to give you a new start. It's like hitting the reset button when you say, Jesus, I need you right now. That's praising. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Love never fails. And see, that's what this is all about. People try to use this scripture to do away with tongues. But what it's saying to us, it's the subject here is more to do with love. Amen. It's more to do with love, showing us the love of God and how we should let that kind of love also be in our lives. And it's saying, love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Amen. And these prophecies, as we talk about prophecies and read about prophecies in these particular settings here in the Scripture, amen, it's not just necessarily the kind of prophecy that says, thus saith the Lord, although it's included, thus saith the Lord at certain times, certain events going to happen. Amen. There are prophetic things in the Word of God that have been prophesied, did come to pass, do come to pass. But in this setting, if you study it real carefully, prophecy here is just anointed speaking or inspired of God talking in a way that you can be understood. Amen. And sometimes we say things that don't really, you know, have a whole lot of meat. In other words, things don't come about as though as we thought they would, and we make plans, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Glory to God. God's blessing me, and I see this coming, I see that coming. And, oh, we're going to take the world, we're going to do this. Oh, my Lord. And it's prophecy. It can be understood. You're not speaking in an unknown tongue. Oh, you're just feeling so good, and you're just praising God. Oh, and you know, when you get on a high with God, you can conquer every enemy. You can see it, and you can, but you might blurt it out, because what you see and what you say after the dust settles, after the service is ended and you're back on the job, and it's Monday, and somebody plays that recording of what you said. I said that. Felt right when I said it. See, I got to always remember, all things are possible with God. You can't blurt out anything that you hope for, dream of, or want with all your heart that God cannot perform. Praise God. But just because it doesn't happen between Sunday night and Monday morning, don't give up. Don't give up. Hallelujah. You may seem like it's a failure. You said things and you are a failure. Praise God. And sometimes our words maybe do fail. Amen. But love never fails. That's what this is talking about. Love never fails. Prophecies will, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Amen. And this is not talking about, I've had so many people use that scripture on me and say, and you people still speak in tongues? Oh, that ceased years ago. But that's not what this is saying. Did talking cease years ago? Amen. Did knowledge cease years ago? Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Same verse here. This is not doing away with tongues or knowledge. It's just amplifying the fact that no matter what comes and goes, no matter how many speak in tongues, get excited, prophesy, teach, preach, have a good time, when it's all over with, make sure you still got love. Hallelujah. When it's all over with, and when you're back on the at the place where you go back to, that's not all that like church, you know, your friends are there that don't go to church. Your in-laws are there that don't care about church. Your mom, your dad, your sisters, your brothers. And they're manifesting hatred and bitterness and strife and all that's going on around you. During those moments, you may not hear much speaking in tongues. And you may not hear much prophesying. Hallelujah. But please know that you can still manifest love. Even in that setting, you can still love them. Jesus walked with sinners. He got criticized for it. He went home with a sinner. a whole multitude was following him, saying, "Oh, I want to touch him. I want to see him. I want to get close to him." And a little cheating tax collector. Yeah, that was stealing people's money, collecting for the government and putting it in his pocket. Yeah. He said, "I want to see him." And he made an effort that nobody else in the crowd made. Now, he was not a follower like the others. He was not faithful to the cause like the others. He was not well known as being a Jesus freak like some of the others. But he was just a cheating, dishonest sinner. He said, "I want to see him too." His name was Zacchaeus. And he put forth a little special effort. While others were trying to get through the crowd, work their way past others, step on anybody to get there, whatever it takes, he just simply climbed up a tree. Climbed up a tree. And when Jesus saw what he had done, he made an effort to get above the crowd so that he could see this Jesus. When Jesus looked up and he saw that little cheating sinner in that tree, he said, "I want to go home with you." There were people all through that street that would have just about given their right arm to hear him say those words. "I want to go home. I want to go to your house." And he went home with that sinful man and showed him love. And after he showed him love, the man changed in his way of doing things and started going to all the people and giving them double what he had taken from them. And started changing his whole way. That's what love will do. You can speak in tongues in somebody's face all day and it'll make them run from you. But you show them some kindness. Show them some kindness. Go to your prayer closet. Speak in tongues all you want to. Be edified. Talk to your God. Get your strength and then come out of the closet. With love in your heart. Hallelujah. Don't Acts 2:38 people to death. Acts 2:38 is important. It's the word of God. It's the plan of salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. It's easy to point your finger at everybody and say, "You need to do it too. You need this. You better do this. You better do this, or you're going to split hell wide open." That's not going to win anybody to God. Although it may be true. You never saw Jesus going around saying, "Hey, you people in the crowd, you better listen to me. You're going to go to hell." Love does not vaunt itself. Does not behave unseemly. Amen. But you see him saying, "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I know you've been going in circles. I know you've been confused. I know you've been in the rat race of life. I know you've had problems. I know you've been a failure. And I know all these bad things are going on in your life. So come unto me. I want to show you what love is all about." Hallelujah. A friend of mine, I've talked about him many times in the past, went to his favorite bar room, sitting on a bar stool with his drinking buddies on a Saturday night. And next to him, his buddies were saying words like, "I don't think I believe in God." One of them said, "Well, if there is a God, he's not a good God." And they were drinking. And the more they would drink, the louder they would get. And one of them said, if God were a good God, why did he let my grandma die?" And they all started to agree, and everybody started getting in harmony together. "Oh, yeah, he's a bad God, even if he's there. I don't believe there's a God." And so my friend had been to church just a couple of times. And he didn't think that this conversation was a good conversation. He was drinking just like the others. Amen. And he put his beer can down and he said to his friends, "I don't think we need to be talking about God like that." So one of them said, "Well, what difference does it make to you, Chip? You're just a drunk like us." He said, "But I still don't think we need to talk about God like that." And they started saying, "Well, who are you, some kind of preacher here, drinking your beer and telling us how you feel about God?" And they laughed at him. So Chip said, "Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. While you talk bad about him, I'm going to get down on my knees and talk to him." And in that barroom, according to his testimony, in a barroom, drinking beer, half drunk, he got down on his knees and he said, "God, if you're out there anywhere, my name is Chip. And if I can find you, I will serve you." Chip said, something happened at that moment in that barroom with all that beer drinking going on. He said, "I felt something I have never felt before in my life." He said, "Something happened to me." He said, "It just drew me. It just pulled me." He said, "I felt something going on. I didn't know how to explain it, but it was taking me to the preacher's house." And I remember that night. I was at the house when the doorbell rang, and there stood Chip with a six-pack in one hand and a carton of cigarettes in the other and tears in his eyes. And he said in his drunken way, "I don't need this anymore." Because God loves drunks. God loves dope addicts. God loves drug pushers. God loves harlots, prostitutes, pimps. There's nobody that God loves, and yet we have a hard time getting along with some of the other people in our churches sometimes just because they didn't shake our hand. "I don't need this anymore." Now, some people may take offense to what I'm going to say, but I'm just going to repeat the prayer of Chip. While we were filling up the baptistry at the church at 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, Chip, my dad, and myself, we were there in the church. Chip was still trying to sober up. He was walking back and forth in the auditorium of the church building praying. And he was saying, "God, my mother won't understand this. My daddy won't understand this. But by golly, you will." Like I said, somebody might take offense to that. But you know who loved him through it all? God did. It don't matter how you talk, how your breath smells, or how sober you are. If you want God in your life, you make an effort to come to Him, and He will make an effort to bring you to Himself. Along about 5 o'clock in the morning, Chip went down in the water in the wonderful name of Jesus. That was over 20 years ago, and if you could meet him today, he's still waving those hands saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You're good to me, Jesus." Hallelujah. You got something for me? Amen. God's so good. Sister Gail called, needs prayer. Sister Gail is in New York. Let's all stand and pray for her right now. Jesus, we're asking you to touch our sister. Lord, she has been here. She has felt the love of this people. She has shown her love to us. And Lord, I don't know what the problem is right now, but we pray for her and we ask you to touch her life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm almost through. You can be seated again. Amen. Love. Sammy was Chip's best friend. Chip worked at International Paper Company, where Sammy also worked, and another fellow named Ronnie and A.O. Wilson. These are all friends of mine from years ago. They all worked at International Paper Company, where my brother-in-law is a chemical engineer, soon to retire from the same place. But Chip went to work after God filled him with the Holy Ghost and sobered him up. He went to work. Didn't know much about the Bible at all. Had only been to church two or three times. But he knew that he got a hold of something that had changed his life. He went to work, and those same old buddies he had partied with, had gone out and done all kinds of things with, he got together with them during break time, and he said, "You know what? I don't drink anymore. I don't cuss anymore. I don't swear anymore. I don't run around on my wife anymore." And they started laughing at him. And one man said, "Well, Chip," said, "you don't have to go to such extremes." He said, "I've been a Sunday school teacher at so-and-so church for over 20 years. And he said, "I still drink a little, cuss a little, smoke a little. I'm saved, can't help it. Once saved, always saved. God saved me, and he ain't going to unsave me. Hey, I'm going to go to heaven no matter what I do." One of these days, you'll level out, and you'll be like me. Chip didn't like that. He listened to this. Another one said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian too, but I still do those things. How come you're so special all of a sudden?" Amen. And so one of them asked a question. Amen. "Chip, tell us about the thief on the cross." Chip said, "Thief? What thief?" They said, "You know, the thief on the cross didn't have to get baptized in Jesus' name. The thief on the cross didn't have the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said to him, 'This day you'll be with me in paradise.' Explain that one, Chip." He said, "What thief? What cross?" He never heard of such a thing. He said, "I don't know. I don't know how to explain it." And they laughed him to scorn. He said, "I didn't know there was a thief on the cross." But he said, "I'll tell you this much. I don't steal anymore. This thief doesn't steal anymore." Hallelujah. His buddy, Sammy, long blonde hair flowing down, big nice necklace on his neck and big earrings, amen, just and cigarette chain smoker and drunkard, was standing in the crowd while they were laughing at Chip, listening from a distance to Chip say, "I don't know about the thief. I don't know about that stuff. But I know I was a thief and I don't steal anymore." Chip's drinking buddy, Sammy, left the company, went back on the back side of the paper mill to an old drainage pipe that was no longer in use. It was just there. It had been used for a sewer pipe. But now they had changed things. It was just a pipe that was there. And he crawled up in this sewer pipe. I want to tell you, the love of God can find you anywhere, even in a sewer pipe. He got back in that sewer pipe so nobody could hear him and said with an echo through the pipe, "God, this is Sammy. If you're real, I want to know you too, like Sammy, or like Chip." That night at our church, we were having service. Here comes this fellow with long, swaying, blonde hair. You know what? God even loves long-haired men that smoke all the time. He loves us all. And he heard him in that sewer pipe. Praise God. Sammy came up, sat down next to Chip. Chip said, "Wow, what are you doing here, Sammy?" He said, "Just came to check things out." The altar call was given. Sammy was at the front crying and calling on God. "Well, saw him go into the water in the name of Jesus. Saw him lift those hands and start praising God. The Holy Ghost came on him. He started speaking in tongues. Never had seen anybody speak in tongues before. All he had seen was Chip saying, 'I don't steal anymore. I don't drink anymore. I don't smoke anymore. I don't swear anymore. I don't run around on my wife anymore. I went to a bar room and I defended God and said something good. God got a hold of me, took me to the church. I got baptized in Jesus' name, got the Holy Ghost. And besides that, anything besides that is something I don't know much about.'" Hallelujah. Sammy went back to the paper mill after he got the Holy Ghost. And the same crowd And he said, I don't smoke anymore. I don't drink anymore. I don't party anymore. And they laughed him to scorn. And one of the men in the crowd said, tell us, Sammy, how did God change the water into wine? What water? What wine? Didn't know anything about that. They laughed. Well, I've been teaching Sunday school 23 years, and I've known that all these years. And here you are supposed to be so holy. And Sammy said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I can tell you one thing I do know. God changed whiskey to groceries at my house. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him tonight. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that story goes on and on. There's a whole group of men that came to God out of that. Eventually, just about all those men got saved. The next one in line was Ronnie Ford. He heard that. Something got a hold of his heart. He showed up at church. He was a Catholic man. God even loves Catholics. Aren't you glad, Sister Annie? God even loves Catholics. This old Catholic boy that had known nothing but Catholicism all his life just couldn't take it. When he saw Sammy and Chip standing there with a big radiant smile on their face, not knowing much about the Bible, but saying, we've been changed. Everything is better for us now. We don't steal anymore. We don't do these things, and we're happy. And old Ronnie, the Catholic, came down to check this thing out. Amen. Even though he'd been baptized and sprinkled in the titles as an infant, he saw his need of water baptism in the name of Jesus, went down in the water, received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. If you would meet Ronnie Ford today, those hands are still waving. He's still praising God. He lives in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. You could probably catch him on information in the phone book. Ronnie Ford, full of the Holy Ghost 20-something years later, because somebody at the paper mill manifested the love of God. There wasn't much knowledge there. There wasn't much speaking in tongues going on there at the paper mill. There wasn't much prophesying going on. But there was love. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. There was love. Love. Love does not behave herself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. Amen. But when that which is perfect, and the subject is love, when that love has come into your life, perfect love, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Amen. You may speak in tongues for a while. You may prophesy for a while. You may learn a lot about the Bible and be able to quote scriptures for a while. Praise God. And you may know a little of this, you may know a little of that, and do a little of this, and do a little of that. But praise God, the perfect thing that you got a hold of is love. It's love. Amen. Amen. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. But then, when love has come, then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. Amen. I know a few things here. I know a few things there. But when that love gets a hold of me just right, praise God, I'm able to be in any crowd. And I'm able to know what's going on. And they're able to know that I love them too. Hallelujah. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Love is greater than faith. And we need faith. It takes faith to be able to please God. Love is greater than faith. Love is greater than hope. And without hope, we would all be miserable. Aren't you glad we have faith? Aren't you glad we have hope? But the greatest of these is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Hallelujah. Behold, what manner of love is this that God has bestowed in our lives? Let us praise our loving Savior tonight. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. On the road, as Jesus, manifesting the love of God, was passing by, a leper cries out, "If you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy is gone, because God loves the leper. God loves the person who is terminally ill. Hallelujah. Leprosy in the Word of God represents sin. Leprosy is something that invades a human life and eats that person up. It's very contagious, and it is something that they don't really have a cure for. A leper in a leper colony many times only finds fellowship with others who are deteriorating. The skin is falling off the bones. And if they're seen in public, many times in those days especially, they would say, "Depart from me. Get away from me. I'm a leper. I'm dangerous. Stay away from me. I'm a leper." Amen. And in many places in the Bible, we are showed a parallel between leprosy and sin. And what God teaches us, as He taught this leper, that "I will cleanse you. I will make you whole." He was saying in a parallel in many other passages, "I love you no matter what's eating you up, no matter how contagious you are, no matter how bad it is. I love you. I will make you clean. I will make you pure. I will take away that which is taking you away from us. I will cause you to be perfect and pure in the sight of God and others." Hallelujah. The blind man calls out, "Oh, Jesus! Oh, Jesus, that I might receive my sight." God, through Jesus, shows love to the blind. Even if you're blind physically, God loves the blind man. But that was a parallel to be shown to us all through the Scriptures. If you walk in darkness, you can't find your way. You don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. God will speak to your darkness and say, "I will open your eyes. I came to open the eyes of the blind. I came to cause you to be able to see. You don't have to understand now. Call on the name of the Lord. I am here to open your understanding." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The deaf says, "Oh, that I might hear." He touches them and they can hear. It's just a lesson to let us know, if you don't understand what's going on, if you didn't understand this message, if you don't understand anything else, understand this: God loves you. Even if you can't hear the word, He loves you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The dead live again. So dead. Can't hear, can't feel, can't sense. Stinking by now. Amen. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. All those lessons are in the Bible just to let us know that God loves us, no matter what the predicament, no matter what the circumstances. And if He so loves us, what's to keep us from getting everything available that's in the Word of God? You want the Holy Ghost? Hey, He loves you enough to let you receive the Holy Ghost. You want to live victoriously? He loves you enough to give you victory over everything that would try to bring you down. You want to have more understanding? He loves you enough to open up your understanding and cause you to accelerate and go higher than you've ever gone in knowledge of God. Hallelujah. You want to develop your talent? You want to do some things for God? God will take what you've got, enhance it, build it, give it to you as something blessed of God, and bless others with it, and God will get the glory, and you will be blessed. There's nothing that God won't do for somebody if they will let God love. Amen. Tonight, with eyes closed, Who would like to come forward boldly and say, I'm just coming up here to get anything I can from God? Hallelujah. But I believe that God does love me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just believe God does love me. I'm not here to boast about how much I have or how much I can do or what I am. I'm just here because God loves me and I want what God has for me and I want to love Him back. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you start loving God the way God wants you to love Him and the way God loves you, there is nothing that God can't do through love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want something tonight? Love Jesus. Love Jesus. You don't have to beg God for the Holy Ghost. You don't ever need to get frustrated if you don't get it like you thought you should. That's no problem. Don't worry about it. Let it go. Love God with all your heart. The Spirit of God is with God and He loves you. And if you love Him, it's just an automatic thing. At some point, the manifestation of the Spirit and the power of God will come forth in your life. Meanwhile, He's making you and He's molding you and He's shaping you and He's changing you. He's developing you. And everything that God is in His love available for you right now. Let Him bless you while you praise Him and magnify His name. And don't worry about anything except loving your God. Hallelujah. Let's love Him. Let's praise Him. Let's thank Him tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.